What will make you happy? Would winning the lottery? How about the perfect husband or wife? Would you define happiness as plastic surgery to give you a supermodel face or a new body? Or getting a new job, would that bring you real happiness? Happiness is something all of us desire, but it seems elusive. We can spend our entire lives in pursuit of happiness and never find it. Is it even possible to be truly happy? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Today on Good News Radio, we join Gary Petty at a seminar in San Antonio, Texas, as he talks about the search for happiness.
What is it that would make you absolutely happy? Now write it down. If you have a piece of paper in front of you, write it down. Write down two or three things or five things, but make a short list of what would make you absolutely happy. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe it's a new husband or new wife. Maybe it's more money. But that grew a lot of laughs there, the new husband or new wife. Maybe it's to be better looking. If I could just be better looking, I would be happy. Maybe your definition of happiness is that you're a young person and you want to get married and have children. So that's what I would like to do to make me happy. Maybe it's that you want to be a doctor and help other people. Maybe you're an entrepreneur and you want to quit your job and go start your own business. Work for yourself and then you would be happy. Now, whatever your list is, whatever you wrote down, imagine for a minute that you received all that. That you had all those things and then suddenly it was all taken away from you. You had all those things and then suddenly it was gone. That is exactly what happened to a man named Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl was one of the most promising and well-known Austrian psychologists in the 1930s. When he was 16 years old, Sigmund Freud was so impressed with him that he published one of his articles in his journal. Now, can you imagine that? At 16, the most prominent psychologist in the world is going to publish one of your articles because you're that brilliant. He had a young wife that he absolutely adored. He had a practice. He had a certain amount of monetary success, and he was well looked up to all throughout the medical community throughout the world. But you see, Viktor Frankl was Jewish, and one day a group of soldiers came to his house and took him and his wife and literally stole everything he had. His practice meant nothing. His status meant nothing. What he owned was gone. Everything. Everything was gone but him and his wife. And they were shoved into a crowded boxcar, and they were taken to a place called Auschwitz. And when they got there, they took his wife away from him, and he would never see her again. And then they took him into a room, and they stripped him of all his clothes, and they shaved off every bit of hair on his body. It makes an interesting comment on what it was like to be standing there in a shower with nothing left. He says, while we were waiting for the shower, our nakedness was brought home to us. We really had nothing now except our bare bodies, even minus hair. All we possessed, literally, was our naked existence. What else remained for us is a material link with our former lives. For me, there was my glasses and my belt. And the latter I had to exchange later for a piece of bread. A belt and a pair of glasses were all he had left, and he traded the belt for a piece of bread. Everything that he had was gone. The horrors that he experienced over the next few years are absolutely indescribable. He slept in a bunk that was between 6.5 and 8 feet wide and slept 9 men just on bare wood, and they had 2 blankets and no pillows. He received so little food over that time that eventually he got down to where all he looked like was a skeleton with skin on it. That's all that was left of his body. He had no identity except a number that was tattooed on his forearm. And that's all he was that number. And in that time that he lived, he endured beatings from SS guards, He endured beatings from fellow prisoners. He saw humanity at its most depraved state. And he watched tens of thousands of people die. Horrible deaths. And when Viktor Frankl came out of the concentration camps, because he went from camp to camp, as a doctor, they sent him from camp to camp, and he actually survived. And when he came out, he had come to the conclusion that much of Freudian psychology is wrong. Much of what people thought about the human mind and the psychology of the human mind was wrong. And how we define happiness is wrong. I'm going to go back to Viktor Frankl in a few minutes. First of all, I want to ask you about your happiness. You wrote down a list of what you thought would make you happy. If someone stole that from you and took that away from you, you would be miserable. Viktor Frankl spent much of his life working with people who wanted to commit suicide after he got out of the camps, telling them why they shouldn't, why they should not commit suicide.
You can experience real happiness. We'll be back to explain how with Gary Petty in San Antonio, Texas, right after this message.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
And now, back to Gary Petty at a presentation in San Antonio, Texas.
Here are some symptoms that if you are suffering through, you have a flawed viewpoint of happiness. You have a flawed viewpoint of what life is all about. And therefore, your approach to life is failing. Here are just a few symptoms that if you have, if you look at your life, and you have some of these symptoms on a regular basis. Now, I think everybody has some of these symptoms from time to time. But I mean, if you have these symptoms on a regular basis, then you have a flawed viewpoint of life. Something is wrong in your approach to what happiness is. You find yourself constantly dealing with feelings of anger and bitterness towards others and towards life. Now, all human beings feel anger from time to time. But we're talking about a constant anger and a bitterness towards other people and a bitterness towards life in general, which goes way beyond just being angry at a situation. Are you always struggling with perfectionism and feelings of never measuring up? Do you see other people as a way to be happy or as barriers to your happiness? In other words, all your relationships with other people are either you make me happy or you're keeping me from getting happy. If that's how you see other people, you actually have a wrong approach to happiness and you will never be happy. If you just view other people as either a means to happiness or barriers, you're keeping me from being happy. A lot of young people say, well, my teachers, my parents, everybody keeps me from being happy. The moment you begin to look at life that way, you have already doomed yourself to unhappiness. Are you obsessed with your own appearance, with clothing and jewelry and the makeup of your body, your body shape? I'm not saying we shouldn't have some concern for these things, but are you obsessed with these things? You're not going to be happy. Do you suffer from excessive shyness? Do you have difficulty experiencing meaningful relationships with others? Do you feel stressed much of the time and can't relax when you're not busy? Are you in constant conflict with others? And are you always trying to bend everybody else's will to yours? Because you really believe that you are right in all situations. That you're right in all situations. Do you have a preoccupation with sex outside of marriage? Do you find yourselves always comparing yourselves with others and judging them by your personal criteria? Do you find that you experience an inability to trust God? Now, this list wasn't put together by Viktor Frankl, by the way. This list was put together by me looking through the Bible. These are all principles that come from the Bible. Because ultimately, how life works must come from the Creator of life. He tells us how it works. And He tells us how to have happiness. If you're experiencing one or more of these symptoms all the time, then you aren't very happy, are you? I mean, just what I described there, that is the opposite of happiness. But do you feel that way much of the time? And probably most of us suffer from two or three of those symptoms much of the time. And those things are not the problem, they're symptoms of a wrong approach. Viktor Frankl came to some very profound conclusions about life from his experiences in Nazi concentration camps. One of the things he concluded was that the more a person tried to be happy, the more a person invested their energy and their life into their own happiness, the less happy they became. The more you concentrate on your own happiness, the less happy you become. Very profound viewpoint. You see, instead of trying to be happy, there's nothing wrong with happiness. God wants us to be happy. But if we're spending our whole lives centering on my happiness, our own personal happiness, then we begin to live life in a way that actually leads to unhappiness. Which means that what we have to do is we have to start looking at ourselves and start considering, what is it to be mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy? What is it to be mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy? Because the more healthy we become in those areas, the more happiness we're capable of experiencing. Because the more we center on our own happiness, the tendency is the more self-centered we become. And the more self-centered we become, the more we begin to experience the symptoms I just read. Now, I know it's, at this point someone is saying, but that's not what I need to be happy. You see, what I need to be happy is a new boss. What I need to be happy is a girlfriend. That's what I need to be happy. So what you're talking about doesn't matter to me. It doesn't apply to me. What you think about something? You go to the doctor. You're having terrible headaches. You're in excruciating pain. And you sit down and the doctor does all these tests on you and comes in and says, I figured out what your problem is. You're allergic to chocolate. Stop eating chocolate and your headaches will go away. You will be healthy, right? Here's a principle on how to be healthy. The pain will stop. So you decide, well, you know, I like chocolate so much that won't work. So I'm going to stop my headaches by going out and buying a new television set. Now that sounds ridiculous, but I want you to think about it a minute. That's what we do mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We're suffering symptoms of emotional and mental and spiritual sickness, but we don't like the cure. So we'll go buy a television set. That'll make me happy. See where we have to start changing the way we think. We have to start finding what makes us healthy instead of worrying so much about happiness. Or all we do is we try to cure the headache with a new boat or a new car, which may make you feel good, but the next time you eat a piece of chocolate, the headache comes back. So you would never do this with your own physical health. But this is how we approach our emotional and our mental and our spiritual health with physical things, when the solutions are mental, emotional, and spiritual. Now, it's true that all people, I mean, we all receive happiness from certain things. I mean, you do feel certain happiness when you buy a new car. If you're happily married to somebody, you're happy. You receive happiness from that relationship. All of us receive or experience unhappiness in being in unhappy relationships. All of us experience unhappiness when bad things happen to us. But here's what happens if your whole viewpoint of life is, I'm going to be happy. I spend every moment trying to be happy instead of trying to be mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy. All we do is we become victims of whatever's happening to us. If things are going our way, we're happy. If bad things are happening, we're unhappy. And you flip back and forth constantly. by whatever affects you from the outside. You see, if Viktor Frankl would have taken that approach, he would have never survived years in a concentration camp. He couldn't have. And many didn't. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about how so many people got to the place they couldn't take it. So they would run and throw themselves against electrical fences or run out into areas where they knew if they went, the guards would shoot them. In other words, they would commit suicide because they say, we cannot take this anymore. Because what they were suffering was the worst form of unhappiness any of us could ever imagine.
Gary Petty will explore more about how to find real happiness, so don't go away.
Frankly, life just isn't working for some people. Maybe you have noticed the incredible proliferation of self-help books on store and library bookshelves. You may not realize that most families already own the best self-help book ever published. Millions of copies have been printed, and it's been translated into hundreds of languages. Its words have been around for thousands of years. This book is your Bible. The sponsors of this radio program have put together a booklet titled Making Life Work that helps you make sense out of life. It's filled with practical, down-to-earth advice from the pages of your Bible. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Making Life Work. There is no cost or obligation, and it may change your life for the better. Ask for your free copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
And now, back to Gary Petty at a presentation in San Antonio, Texas.
I mean, how do you control tens of thousands of people with a handful of guards? Well, you put other prisoners in charge. That's how you do it. And you make sure they're mean. And many times, they could surpass the SS in their meanness. And these were your fellow people that were suffering, fellow prisoners, stripped of everything. Ultimately, our mental and our emotional and spiritual health is a product of two elements of how we think. Two elements of how we think determines an awful lot of our mental, emotional, and spiritual health. You say, well, wait a minute, we're talking about happiness. Understand, there are times in your life where you will be unhappy. There will be times in your life where you will suffer. And so we have to look at life not just through the eyes of, okay, how can I be happy, but how can I be healthy? Because only through that kind of health do we begin to actually experience real happiness and peace, even in the bad times. Even in the bad times. The first thing, in order to experience true mental and spiritual health, a person must discover the purpose of his or her life. That is what Viktor Frankl concluded. His conclusion when he came out of the concentration camp, that much of the mental illness that he deals with or dealt with the rest of his life as a doctor was not caused by the reasons everybody else says that they come from. In fact, he would divide mental illness into, of course, the organic causes. In other words, there's something wrong with the brain. But the inorganic, people come in and they have mental illness because of the way they think. And he said the number one reason why people think wrong is because they have no meaning to life. They don't know why they're here. They have no purpose. And he said that leads human beings to neurosis. It leads us to mental illness because we don't know why we're here. Now, this is more than just a philosophical statement I'm making here. Why are you here? Why were you created? Why were you born? Answering that question is the most important question to being able to have mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And therefore, it is a key to happiness. According to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God created human beings in His image. In many ways, we are like God. But let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. The often told story of how Satan came along and convinced the earliest ancestors of humanity to view life differently than what God had created it for. And from that point on, they became unhappy. Up until this point, Adam and Eve had never experienced unhappiness. They had never experienced depression. They had never experienced envy. They had never been driven by greed. They had never experienced frustration, anxiety, worry. Realize, up to this point, these two human beings had never experienced what all of us experience many times on a daily basis. They had never experienced it. It wasn't part of their makeup. It wasn't until they approached life differently than they had been told that they began to feel that way. So when we feel that way, we have to ask ourselves, is there something wrong with my approach to life? Is there something wrong with me understanding my purpose? Not just the purpose for all human beings, but your purpose, your specific purpose. Notice verse 1. Now the serpent, talking about Satan, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." In other words, God said, you live life this way, good things happen. You do things this way, that's not the way life works. Things get real bad, including death. Suffering starts to happen. And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. You're immortal." He doesn't want to tell you that. "For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, you know, there's a certain amount of truth in that lie, because for the first time, they will know good and evil. Up to this point, they had only known good. And because they had only known good, they were never unhappy. Understand that? Because they had only known good, they had never been unhappy. So there's an element of truth to this lie. You'll know good and evil. Of course, you'll suffer the consequences of evil. Up to this point, they'd only suffered the consequences of good. You'll suffer the consequences of evil. He didn't tell them that, you see. He left that part out. But you will know both. And there was a truth in that. And of course, they did. They took it. And when they did, their viewpoint of life changed. In fact, in the next few verses, you'll see that God came to talk to them, and they went and hid themselves from God. Up to this point, they'd never hidden from God. Up to this point, they were always happy to see God. And now they had a problem trusting God. They didn't trust God anymore. They also felt ashamed. Ashamed of their own nakedness. God said, "Well, you weren't ashamed of your nakedness before." There was no problem with that. See, they now began to have a flawed self-image. And they began to look at themselves and say, "Oh, something's wrong. I have to fix myself so I can be happy." But they had just given up what made them happy. Every human being is walking around with a flawed viewpoint of self, because we don't know what our purpose is, so we make up our own purposes. This is what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news that God can save us from the consequences of the lie that we've all believed, that being partly good and partly evil is good. No, it's not. It's partly good and partly evil. And the gospel is God's message on how He, through Jesus Christ, can save us from the consequences of the lie. And we keep saying, "But I'll be happy if I have good and evil." We keep believing the lie, and we keep destroying ourselves. So the first step to good mental, emotional, and spiritual health is to realize you are terribly flawed because you're partly good and partly evil. And you have a terribly flawed viewpoint of yourself. So our decisions and our choices keep tending to be self-destructive. Look at Romans chapter 8. Here is why God made us. Here is what God wants us to do. The Apostle Paul here uses the word flesh to mean human. Just here is our normal way of dealing with things. Here's how you and I approach life as a human being. And then he talks about the Spirit of God. In other words, God's interaction with us and how that is different. It is different than how you and I view life. The Creator of life knows how it works, and we have to trust that. Or we continue to do what we're doing. And the more we continue to do what we're doing, the more unhappy we are. The more frustrated we are. The more we're always in conflict. The more we're always walking around anxious, because we have to step back and look at how God looks at us. He says in verse 13, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." He says, if you live like a normal human being, we all die. Now, this just doesn't mean in terms of physical death, but it means you live a suffering life, and you can even experience eternal death. "But if the Spirit," or if by the Spirit, in other words, we live by the Spirit of God, and the subject here, matter of spirit, is God's Spirit. It's not the human spirit or a different spirit. It's the Spirit of God. "But if you live by the Spirit and put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." This is why God made human beings to begin with. It's so that He can have a family, so that He can have children. That's your purpose. You were made to be God's child. We spend our lives with all these other purposes, missing the whole reason we were made. "For if you did not receive," verse 15, "you did not receive the spirit of bondage." Here he's talking to Christians who interact with the Spirit of God. He says, you didn't receive that spirit of bondage. In other words, you're just trapped inside our own unhappiness. He said, "you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you receive the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. We can go and say to the Creator of the universe, the one who has so much power, He sustains every living thing. He sustains the entire universe. And we can say, Daddy. This is where the purpose of life begins. We go to this Father, this Creator, and we can say, Daddy. And we begin to see who we really are. That's why we were made. That's our purpose, is to become the children of God.
Be sure and join us next week as Good News Radio host Gary Petty explores part two of Searching for Happiness.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.